Hi, I'm Natalie Gochner. You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I represent the political center. Have on the political right, John Dougal. Hi, John.
Hey, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. And Shireen Gourbani on the left.
We missed you.
Oh, you're nice. I haven't caught up on the programs, but I had a great time in London.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, it's a great city. World city.
Did you say hi to the new prime minister?
You know, I actually had this interesting, the morning that the power transition occurred, I said to my husband, let's take a walk down the 10 Downing Street. Took a walk, and right at the gate as it opened, watched the motorcade of Range Rovers come out. I got videos to prove it. So I can say that I saw them.
Wow.
But it was really interesting, just to make this color commentary. So you're outside 10 Downing Street, kind of outside a fence, and you can see a gathering outside the door. And then people have their phones, and they're watching Truss and Sunak do their remarks. They're watching it live on their phones, and you can see it just beyond the gate. And there's children, and you hear parents talking to their kids about how this is happening, and then it comes by. It's really a beautiful thing to watch peaceful transitions. Okay. So, yeah, it was kind of neat. But what a mess they find themselves in.
They do find themselves in quite a mess.
It's a mess. You know, a tough economy, a cold winter coming, you know, war in Europe, and it's not really clear how Sunak's going to climb out of this. So
he's caused part of the problems that are there. So
Stay tuned. Well, we have a ton of issues, and I'm going to try and do this quickly, lightning round, okay? Hey. Just for this first part before we talk about elections. Bolsonaro, the Brazilian president, goes down. This union leader, 77 years old, Lula.
Yeah,
goes Lula. From prison to the presidency. Shireen?
That's right.
Well, presidency to prison, back to the presidency.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so
former
union leader, and he is replacing Bolsonaro, who is frequently referred to as sort of the Trump of Brazil, a person who was incredibly negligent when it came to managing the pandemic. They had huge death numbers, as we did in the United States as well, from COVID-19. But I think the real terrible part, truly very terrible part, that there are many terrible things about Bolsonaro, was the accelerated depletion of the Amazon. The Amazon rainforest are the lungs of this planet. Mm-hmm. And under his leadership, just an absolute explosion of the devastation of the Amazon. Lula is has campaigned on as, you know, working to protect that. And that's a huge difference, I think, for our overall global climate. But I would also add that he was a union leader. So he's part of the Workers' Party. And it's quite the turnaround.
Did you see this coming, John?
Well, I mean, clearly I heard the news about close races and other things down there. But I also find it interesting, given the choices, what Shireen articulated versus a guy who went to prison for corruption. This are their choices.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of let's just say controversy around that prison sentence, believing that it was quite significantly trumped up, that it was part of a corruption scheme that included hundreds of people. So it was a really big deal, a really big issue. Yeah. But
keep an eye on. John, big oil. You have Biden coming out this week really taking on the big oil companies, calling it war profiteering, that they're taking huge
profits. Yeah, I think
profits.
That's reckless and irresponsible for Joe Biden. I mean, he's sitting here, he's begging them to produce more, and then he's condemning them at the same time. I think it's just completely uncalled for.
Yeah. Well, it's a popular, easy soundbite to say that oil companies should be passing their profits on to consumers in this environment. So I think this has election appeal. Shireen?
Yeah. Well, I would just ask, you know, at what point do we believe, you know, capitalism should be fettered when it comes to unbelievable profits that these companies are seeing in a time when they're also seeing, you know, constrictions in the market in other places, decisions from Saudi Arabia and OPEC to restrict the production of oil to continue to drive up those profits so that you and I can pay more at the gas pump? That's not right.
Mm-hmm. If I see this Shell,
is for a government that wants to put the oil companies out of business anyway. So let's just remember that.
Well, if I see Shell and Exxon fixing prices, engaging in anti-competitive behavior, I'm all over fixing that. But I think competition should be bringing prices down when it needs to.
But in the green economy, they want to drive prices up. So they want to play it both ways.
Yeah.
Also, the earth's on fire, so we got to do something.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Then we got this whole issue. I'm doing these quickly, and it's hard to take these complex issues and do them quickly. But you've got this affirmative action in college admissions coming up to the Supreme Court, and the justices appear ready to end race-conscious admissions. Shireen, that's a big deal.
It's a
Yeah, big deal.
It's a big deal. I would say it's part of a long legacy of sort of zero-sum thinking. If you haven't read Heather McGee's book, I would suggest it to individuals to think about
When is the movie coming out?
Yeah. How we get these sort of understandings that if we create opportunities for fairness, that we're taking something away from other people, which just fundamentally is a worldview, that is a perspective. And I have to say, in a time now when our schools are more segregated than really ever, mm-hmm. when we think mm-hmm. about the long-lasting implications of everything from redlining, the ways that communities have been divided up, and the way that college admissions may look in without a policy such as this, I think that they're playing with fire. I don't like this.
John, I'm just smiling because Shireen's encouraging our readers to read a book, Zero Sum.
Yeah, it's called The Sum of Us.
The Sum of Us. And I have this book, and it's fairly dense. I mean, it's a tough read. I mean, it is a serious read. And I lead a public policy institute, and I have it, but I haven't read it. But Shireen,
I've read it.
She's down on it.
John? Well, for Shireen, it's beach reading.
So, I got it.
Let's just to each their own.
I need Shireen to come run the Gardner Institute. She'd do a good job, I think.
Well, I'll just put up, Heather McGee is coming to town, so the author of that is coming as part of the Tanner Humanities series.
I'll leave it to that. That's great. I didn't know that either. John, any quick comments on the admissions process and, you know, this is equal protection clause stuff?
Clearly, I think a bunch of these universities have gone too far the other way. The Supreme Court decades ago viewed some of this as being temporary, and now we're decades later. And they're not completely eliminating it. But the consideration is, has it gone too far and is it, you know, causing other issues as a result, especially when it comes to public institutions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. John, we'll stay with you. Musk, the Twitter era of Elon Musk has started.
Free the bird.
Yeah. He's saying free the bird. He's changed his Twitter bio to be Chief Twit, which I think is strange. What kind of changes do you expect? Because this will affect political dialogue in our country.
So I'm going to speculate that business-wise, you're not going to see that much change. I think in terms of animation, you know, he's a showman. And mm-hmm. so you're going to hear lots of things about, you know, he fired the board and the CEO and the CFO and mm-hmm. the general counsel and so forth. You're going to hear all that type of stuff, and there's going to be a lot of churn. And, you know, he enjoys that kind of attention. But at the end of the day, I'm not sure there's going to be that much that's going to change. He's going to look to say, okay, do we make it more?
But if he restores Donald Trump's account, that's a huge change because I have to listen to it, right? Because everyone will report on it.
Why do you have to?
Because they report on it. And, you know, you just can't get out of the airwaves if Donald Trump is tweeting.
Well, even if he doesn't tweet, you're having to hear it in the press anyway.
A little bit. I just think it expands it.
I think we got daily articles about Donald Trump today, whether or not you want to hear him. This is what the news does.
That's true. I'm just saying that we're going to get more.
Yeah, so I think this is troubling for many reasons. There are a number of top executives that have already left. And then also, I think Elon Musk's articulation of what he is kind of considering, he wants it to be this haven for free speech mm-hmm. and does not want to control it. What we ended up with was a president who incited a riot on the Capitol, right? Mm-hmm. We have numerous examples of really damaging and hurtful information, complete misinformation that is circulated as truth on Twitter now. Threats of violence are, you know, likely to be part of that as well. Like, we've seen these dark corners of Twitter under the leadership that was trying to do something about it. When we have somebody whose entire ideology is free the bird, that we're going to increase, this and not put really clear restrictions on what is going to be restricted speech on a platform like this, I don't think he's got the acuity, capacity to really articulate what it means to manage something this big.
Yeah. Freedom has responsibilities.
Has responsibilities.
How do you deal with it? So my mind goes to Paul Pelosi.
Mm-hmm.
John and Shireen, this is sad.
Horrific.
This guy's got fractured skull. He's in intensive care. How old is he?
82.
Attacked by a 42-year-old with a hammer? Sounds like a different place than the country I live in.
Kind of, but I would say after years and years and years of, in particular, the GOP people on the far right demonizing Nancy Pelosi, it is no, though I find this horrific, it is mm-hmm. no surprise to me that this has happened and that she was the target.
Well, it's horrific. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've got Steve Scalise that was shot a few years back and stuff like that. So we've got, unfortunately, people, and in this case, it sounds like a guy who's completely crazy. It sounds like the guy who shot Steve Scalise was not altogether with himself. But we have way too much violence, and we should be able to disagree vehemently on political issues without resorting to violence in any sense.
But we just don't anymore. And I see so much of this on both extremes, but certainly I feel like the rhetoric on the right is more militant and more dangerous in some ways. And there's a rise of, there really is like a rise of this kind of far right nationalism in this country right now that I find very distressing. And I have to say, I'm grateful that people are still willing to run for office and put themselves out there, but times are scary.
Well, yeah, but if you just roll back 2 years, to the summer of 2020 and the riots that were going on and other things like that, from my perspective and my side of the aisle, lots of folks were very concerned and fearful
Salt
about
Lake
what was
City,
going on. And
so police and cars flows. Turned over, burned.
Even right here in Salt Lake City.
Graffiti at our Capitol.
Right.
So it and ebbs and flows on both sides of the aisle,
okay,
is all I'm saying.
Yeah, but the direct, like, these people are evil. We're like, specifically Nancy Pelosi is used over and over and over again by the GOP as a demon. Like, that has to stop. And it is, I do find that it is more prevalent, the actual, like, dehumanization of people and using them as these political pawns is something that she in particular has been a target of. Many women are a target of in the political arena. But I do feel like it's something that we see really over and over again. Mm-hmm. And it has to stop.
We've talked about on the program before, but the Dignity Index is in full demonstration project mode here in our campaigns here for the congressional race and the Senate race. Listeners can go to dignityindex.us.
Yeah. And can
and
you
see
just,
the results?
Just really quickly again, what are you looking at?
Yeah, so we take the political speech of the candidates and we look at a positive example of dignity in their speech and a negative example of contempt in their speech. We show their worst and their best for the week.
Yeah.
And show it. It's coded, politically coded by
states. And how are we doing these days?
Do you know, I guess the biggest lesson I've learned is everybody's guilty.
Yeah.
Just look at the Lee McMullen race and you see that.
Yeah.
So, hey, we'll take a quick break and come back. We got a lot of elections to talk about. Stay tuned. I'm Natalie Gochner with John Dougal and Shireen Gourbani. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle on KCPW. For more episodes of all our in-house podcasts, click on the Local Programs tab at kcpw.org. And while you're there, please consider donating to KCPW to support public radio in your community.
Shireen Gourbani on the left.
John Dougal on the right.
I'm Natalie Gochner in the political center. This is Both Sides of the Aisle, and it is election time. I've already sent in my ballot. Have you guys sent yours in?
You bet I have.
You bet I have.
I have.
Okay.
Dropped in the drop box, had the camera, watching it, all that.
I have a rule, and I encourage my kids to wait till the very last minute in case something changes.
Yeah.
You know, in case you see something you don't like. But then again, we're so close. I mailed it just the other day. Well, so let's go national before we go hyper-local. There's a couple of things to watch on election night. And there's a couple of governor's races that are at least have captured your interest, John. Oregon, Arizona, New York.
I grew up in Oregon, so, you know, they haven't had a Republican governor out there since I was in high school, so in the 80s, early 80s.
And there's a competitive race right now.
There's a competitive race right now. You got, what is it, Drazen and Kotek or okay. something like that? I mean, Republican and Democrat. So I think it's still a little in favor of the Democrat, but it's kind of neck and neck going on out there. And so
I'll bet you homelessness is on the...
Homelessness and crime and other things like that are
stirred up.
Educational issues, I'm sure, is top of mind. Those are issues nationwide.
Shireen, how about Arizona? Further south. We had a governor's race there that I'm watching kind of closely.
Well, what are you looking at here?
Well, I'm watching because it really bothers me when someone is a candidate and they say, well, you support the results, and they say, only if I win.
Yeah, only if I win.
That's a little bit of a problem. This is Kerry Lake, the former journalist that's a Republican candidate there. How about you?
Yeah, I'm curious about that race. I'm looking at, I'm interested in some of these big Senate races as well.
And Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, but also Mark Kelly is on the ballot in Arizona. And yeah. I'm a pretty big fan of astronaut Mark Kelly. But then I also feel like we've got just this interesting Georgia governor's race that I'm really interested in, right? We've got
Brian Kemp and Stacey Abrams.
And Stacey Abrams.
A rematch going on.
And they're seeing massive, early voter participation. So a lot of interesting trends.
So basically,
I thought they passed a law to suppress voter turnout. Clearly it didn't do that.
Well, there's a lot of people who haven't turned their votes in here, so maybe there's a chilling effect that we're just experiencing as a spillover in Utah.
Well, so basically for politicos, it's going to be a really interesting night. There's a lot of interesting things. And I even noticed in the Arizona Senate race, they have a Libertarian candidate that's now endorsed the Republican candidate to try and... Sorry, it's a Senate race.
I think it's a Senate race.
The Senate race to try and help.
I think he saw he was going to split the vote.
Blake, yeah. But he's still on the ballot, right? The ballots are already done. So it has all sorts of nuance.
But they don't count that if you withdraw officially. So
yeah. I do have to say, though, I really do want to give voice to, I heard a really interesting interview with some people in Georgia, and one of the reasons that they said that voter turnout was so high early was that people were afraid that they were going to encounter challenges at the ballot, and so they were making sure that they were getting out and voting early so that they would not encounter those challenges. So I know that you were joking, but truly there have been over 250 laws passed to restrict voting access in this country, largely driven by Republican politics, and I do think that's concerning and it's real.
Well,
those laws were passed.
Well, some of the things that were supposedly passed were also things that Democrats had done as well. And so, you know, you look at a bill
it's
here.
It's not all partisan, but
like, yeah.
Right.
Okay. But I want to go back to the Pennsylvania race.
Okay.
You're looking at the Senate race there. You've got, what is it?
Dr.
Oz. Mehmet Oz, Dr. Oz, and John Fetterman. I looked at Fetterman. I mean, he had had a serious stroke. And I don't think that they had adequately prepared the public for the impact of the stroke, because they talked about him being, you know, struggling to put some words together. Mm-hmm. But to me, it looked like he was also struggling to understand some of the questions. Mm-hmm. In such a high profile, serious race, I thought it was really tragic,
50-50.
Unfortunate for him to have to be going through this.
Yeah, I think it's it is an incredible. I mean, I have really loved Fetterman for a long time. I think he's an incredible candidate, was a great leader in his community. I think he would serve Pennsylvania well. But I do also think there was a lot of commentary after that. And you alluded to this as well. When a person has a stroke, there's often a long period of time when they need, intensive recovery and treatment to help mm-hmm. them put those like pathways back together in their brains.
And some never fully
Some never,
recover.
But also a lot of people do. But in high stress situations, those, synapses, the way that things come out does not look good. And I would say the ableism that was on display in a lot of reporting, or the lack of kind of care for what was happening with a person who had had a stroke, was really despicable. Mm-hmm. But that's not what you were saying. I want to be clear. That's not what you were saying. But there was a lot of reporting that was really trash about
that.
Yeah,
that's tough. All right. So the marquee race in Utah is our senior senator, Mike Lee, and Evan McMullen. Polls, there's different ones, different times. Yeah, but the Emerson College poll has Lee at 49%, McMullen at 39%. Yeah, and this has been among sort of political insiders for weeks that it's 8 to 12% Lee's going to get this. Who knows? But that's something that's being said. But I want to talk about the impact of John Huntsman Jr. endorsing Lee. Quick reactions, John.
Well, they have a strong relationship. I mean, when Huntsman was governor, Mike Lee was his general counsel. Mm-hmm. Very dutiful soldier and advisor.
And then Lee endorsed
Huntsman him for governor. And they've got a long relationship. And I thought when I saw the commercial, it was a very powerful commercial. In fact, I texted
what
John Jr. And told him how impressed I was with that commercial.
What did you think of it being paid for by Club for Growth instead of the Lee campaign? That really threw me off.
Well, what that said to me is what we're hearing is what John Huntsman believes. This isn't something that Mike Lee was really asking for per se. It was, this is John Huntsman saying what he thinks and giving his best advice to the Utah.
If I were the Lee campaign, I would have said, we'd like to do this ad, you know, and do it. Mm-hmm. But here's the catch, and Shereen, this would be interesting for you to comment on. To me, this is John Huntsman Jr. basically saying, I'm a Republican.
Yeah.
I'm a Republican. You might question me, some of the things I've done, but I'm a Republican. I'm going to endorse the senior senator. And I'm also going to do it under Club for Growth, because that even says more I'm a Republican.
Yeah. So I continue to be distressed.
Her voice just changes, John, as she goes into it.
Mike Lee's
people can't see her facial
willingness to go along with an absolute cockamamie scheme to overturn a democratically elected president, and to really work to undermine democracy in ways that is so harmful to this country. I do not believe he's fit to serve, and I'm disappointed when I see people who I do respect endorsing him.
Okay, so one of the things that Governor Huntsman said in the ad is that he speaks to Lee's unshakable integrity.
Yep, I don't see that part. Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah, John.
Well, he also talked about he knows his heart, uh-huh. and this goes back to their long working relationship. But I also find the timing interesting. McMullen attacks Lee about going to Russia, and Lee went to Russia at the request of Huntsman. Mm-hmm. And days after that attack, all of a sudden this ad's up on TV.
When Senator Lee urged White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows to work with Sidney Powell, and weeks later she's doing all sorts of conspiracy, unjustifiable complaints about the election and, you know, touting election fraud. That troubles me.
Yeah.
That's sort of me the hardest thing about the Lee vote is his subtle ties, even if it's a dotted line, to January 6th. So I just...
Spending 14 hours a day working on behalf of trying to figure out if they could send fake electors. Like, it's not good.
John, one more. Do you think Governor Huntsman would have done this ad if Lee was behind?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
That's a good job. I mean, answer, I just... Because you're just so straight up.
But some people... They have a very strong relationship. And, yeah. and since 2005.
The idea is it would help him, but you'd also be endorsing... You know, if he was way behind, you'd be endorsing someone who maybe doesn't win. And that... It's a lot easier to endorse people that win. Mm-hmm. Just saying. So, okay. Very good. Anything else you want to say about the Lee McMullen race before we jump to the debate between Burgess Owens and McDonald?
No, just make sure you get your ballots in. You can track your ballots if you go to vote.u.gov. Make sure that gets counted.
I thought you might bring up, were either of you surprised that Senator Lee would not debate Evan McMullen on Fox?
Absolutely not, because if I were Senator Lee, I wouldn't have to answer for some of the things that I've said.
Yeah. John, how about you?
Well, the other dynamic is, there's the classic.
It's his expression. Platform. It's Fox.
Sure. Yep. But you got the dynamic, which is if you're the front runner.
Don't do it.
Okay. The advice is don't do it. You know, you've got nothing but downside.
So this is a U.S. Senate race, a 6-year term. How many times have they debated?
One time.
Is that good enough?
Absolutely not.
Do we feel good about that?
Well, from my perspective, too often the debates don't really get into the serious things. I mean, if we really want to have, let's say, Lincoln-Douglas 4-hour debate and stuff like that, but even what we have, the one was just...
Okay.
You've been a moderator of them, but, you know, they're too hard. They got their talking points but it wasn't really in-depth about what they really think.
What I worry is that people are in public service for the wrong reasons. And what I want is a marketplace of ideas, and I want lots of discussion, and I want to get to know these candidates.
Well,
and you can't know them if you don't get to see them and hear from them, if it's not filtered through the media.
Oh, but and I guess this is part of my problem. I want to judge people by what they do, not by what they said. And so this is why seeing their record and what they actually do is what matters to me. And clearly that's a big part of what matters to Shireen as well.
So let's go to the Representative Owens and the McDonald race. This is the 4th congressional district. You say you want to know Ms. McDonald by what she does. She's not been in elected office, at least that I know of. You need to see her, John. Right?
Right, yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying the power of debates. I know you can go by their records, but a lot of times you have people that get on the ballot that there's nothing public to know about them. But you still need to see them.
And that's why you try and figure out. And that's partly why you see them on the campaign trail. You see them at different events. You learn more about what they've done in their professional or private life.
Yeah. So the Owens-McDonald debate, CD4, Owens in the primary avoided 2 debates. One was hosted by the Republican Party,
yep.
And he didn't show.
Yep.
And then he didn't show in the Utah Debate Commission debate, but he agrees to have a debate with Ms. McDonald, and they do it. You watched it, John, so I should let you set this up. But they're in a basement with a few supporters and some reporters. It's not broadcast live.
Yeah, all I could see was the stage. There was the host, there was the two of them, plus the moderator on the stage.
And Owen's campaign did not make it easy to find this. They did not tweet out the link. They didn't post it anywhere.
Right?
Yes, it was incredibly difficult to find.
How did you find it, John?
I think I just went on YouTube and search for Utah 4th Congressional District. That, boom,
right.
There
but
it was.
They're in the basement of a suburban real estate office.
I figured you'd ask me about it, so I needed to watch it.
They're in a basement of a commercial office, a real estate office, having a debate? This is strange. But what did you pick up, John?
You say it's strange, but unfortunately the UVU lighting made it strange for the Senate debate. So that kind of was odd. But,
I mean,
the very first thing I'm going to say is I was very proud of Utah. Here we have candidates for the 2 major parties in the 4th congressional district, both with unique lifestyles, both African Americans, coming from their perspectives, debating. They see the world a different way.
Mm-hmm. Debating
so
critical race
theory.
Too
often we want to say it's cookie cutter. You're from this race or this gender or this nationality. You're going to think a certain way, and we're seeing a very different concept of what America means to each of them. And I was very impressed with that as part of their debate and their discussion.
Yeah.
I'll just give a shout out to Darlene McDonald. I'm incredibly proud to have her representing the Democratic Party in the 4th Congressional District. She's given a lot of service back to this community. She gives a lot of service to the party. She is a kind and thoughtful leader, and I feel like we would be better served by her.
Yeah. I will take issue with the moderator. I thought he focused too much on local issues and not enough on national issues. It almost sounded like national defense was an afterthought at the very end.
Yeah.
We've got to end this by talking about Governor Cox for a minute. He made an announcement that caught my son's eye. My son texted me about it, basically said we're going to invest heavily in trails. This is wonderful.
I think this is great news.
Everybody can get behind.
I hope so. I think the idea is that we're going to connect the whole state by trails. And I have to say, I did one of those like long races top of Zion. So I started at Capitol Reef and actually ran with a group of people down to Zion. The more time that people have outside on protected trails, I think is a great way for us to go.
Yeah. John, your comment on this, because this is a life quality issue.
So this is an interesting thing. I see this is the trend where Utah's going. The one caution I'd advise is when I was in the legislature, at my local city wanted me to help push something, the eminent domain, to take somebody's property to put in a trail, and I would not support them in splitting her yard or her acreage to do that.
Well, great discussion, you two. It's been fun. I'm with Shireen Garbani and John Dougal. It's Natalie Gochner in the Political Center. Our program is produced by Anthony Scoma. Thanks, everybody, for listening.